What's up with Jose's girlfriend, Detective Spicy Hands, and Bubbles is Alive? All this and more on today's How Did This Get Made mini episode. Hit the theme.
Hey, chirps, it's time for a mini episode. One's for Bobby Cats, the last Evan, and the next one he froze.
What's up, dum-dums? It's me, Paul Scheer, and welcome to the How Did This Get Made mini episode. This is where I tell you all the info that you need for next week's episode and all the things that we missed from last week's episode, which of course was Dragon Blade. Oh man, there's so many things that we missed, including the Dragon Blade. But first, let me give a big shout out to Todd Fronauer for that awesome opening song. If you'd like to compose a song for this show, you can do it. Just email us at howdidthisgetmade and send it to earwolf.com. howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com. We want your songs. But now, we want your problems. It's time for the Explanation Hopeline.
Where do I go and what do I do? You tell me how to live my life, what I should watch this week.
Thank you, James Noble. It was a very immediate out there. But excited to have you compose that song. And let's get into our first question on the Explanation Hopeline. You know how it works. You give me a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. Paul Ask, not Paul Ass. And I help you with all your problems. Here we go.
Hey, Paul. Andy here. Love the show. I have a question for you. My wife and I recently bought a house, and then a few months after we moved in, her mom fell on some hard times, and she had to move out of her apartment. So I said, why not have her move in with us so she gets back on her feet? I don't mind anything by it, but it seems that my wife is getting very frustrated by her mom being there, and I hate seeing her stressed out over silly things. I feel like she thinks her mom doesn't make the best decisions. So I was wondering if you had any advice on how we could politely try to nudge her out and say, hey, maybe it's time you start thinking about getting back on your feet. Thanks. Love the show. Bye.
Holy shit. That's an impossible question to answer. Look. Whew, boy. I don't even know where to get into it. I feel like you got to okay this plan by your wife before you do anything. Right? First, you have to be on the same page. Second of all, if you're going to kind of break it down like this and you're trying to get her off her feet, you got to come up with some solid options. What's the game plan? You're going to get her on a job board? You're going to get her on LinkedIn? What are you going to do, people? LinkedIn sponsor of the show. How are we going to get her back on her feet? Are we going to give her a little bit of money? Can you afford to give her a little bit of money? And then most importantly, and I always go back to this, take care of your wife. You know what? She may be getting stressed out, and I know you don't want to see her getting stressed out, but can you figure out a way to make her feel a little bit better? Maybe you guys can go on a staycation if that's in the cards. I don't know. You just bought a house. That's takes a lot of money out. But maybe you guys can do something together, get out of the house for a day or two, give her a little bit of relief. But I think it seems to me like if you want this person out of your house, your mother-in-law out of the house, you got to help her make a plan. Because now she's the child and you're the adult. You make the rules, goddammit. If she's not home, she's grounded. Ground your mother-in-law. That's the title of my movie. It's coming out for Dimension. It's called My Mother-in-Law's Grounded. Oh, yeah. She's going to try to have her book club. I'm like, no way. You're making too much noise. Drinking all that tea. It's a hilarious movie. It's role reversal. It's Freaky Friday. Meets Neighbors. Guys, get into it. My stepmom is grounded. All right, next question.
Hey, Paul, this is Jose calling from Guaynabo, Puerto Rico. I have a problem, Paul. I've been dating this girl for a while now. And, I mean, we have it going on. We're great. This is the best relationship I've ever had with someone. The problem I'm having is she just posts everything on Facebook, you know, like, you know, she's the kind of woman that, you know, oh, we're going to eat, boom, picture of the food. Go to Facebook. We're going out. Boom. A photo of us going out goes to Facebook. You know, she just takes pictures of everything and she posts them on Facebook. Now, I haven't told her anything about it, you know. I don't want to feel her, I don't want her feeling bad, you know. But I think, I don't know, man. Am I being, like, too shallow? And any advice you can give me on this regard with my girlfriend is going to be highly appreciated. Okay, and one more thing. Dragon Blade!
Thank you, Jose, for making Dragon Blade the new Geostorm. I appreciate that. Please let that catch on in Puerto Rico. Dragon Blade seems more ominous to yell out loud. Geostorm seems like it's coming, but Dragon Blade seems like an attack is imminent. If you yell out, Dragon Blade, duck, protect your neck. Jose, this is a great problem. I'm going to give you a very easy solution. It seems like your relationship is going well. You don't want to blow it up. You don't want to sour it, but you do want to manage it, right? Here's what I would say. Why don't you put yourself in the same boat and go, you know what, tonight we're going to do a no phone night. No phone night. We're not even going to bring our phones out with us. We're going to just go and experience the night, because what you're going to say to her is, I just want to be in this moment with you, and I want to have it private. I don't want anyone else to know it. I want to, and maybe you make that part of like one of your dates. Like, let's just do something and no one will know where we are or what we did. And it will just be our story, because our memories of things are way better than the pictures that we will take of things. And you can make it romantic like that. And then maybe you do that for a date night, another date night. And then all of a sudden, maybe you do it for the weekends. We don't do it on the weekends. Edge it out slowly, and then she'll start to see that, like, she doesn't need to post all that sort of stuff. You know, but obviously she's really enjoying what you're doing together because she's posting it. So you want to just make sure that she doesn't get offended by it, but I think you can do it. Try it a little bit at a time, a little less, a little less, a little less. And also, if all else fails, just show her what Facebook is up to with all that, you know. Oh, boy. They're in the middle of a lot of shit, those Facebook people. So maybe she doesn't want to put all of her stuff up there. Then they own it, and they'll come, and then they'll make her work for Facebook. You know, so you could scare her like that. Just find one of those weird fake news articles about, like, how Facebook will not fake news. I'm not going to be against fake news. I don't think that. Oh, my nav went down a rabbit hole, didn't I? No, I'm just saying. I don't know what I'm saying. All I'm saying is minimize it. All right. Thank you, Jose. Dragon Blade! All right, that is it. That was a slow week for our Explanation Hope line. I hope you guys give me a call next week at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. I will answer all your questions. Again, call in. Let me know how I did. Did it work? That's what I really need to hear, some follow-ups. And speaking of follow-ups, let me follow up with you. We are going to be doing some shows coming up in September, and we're going to be pretty much aiming into the Pacific Northwest, but also a little bit mid-country. If you want to be the first to know about these shows, sign up for our mailing list. You can find our mailing list on Facebook.com. You can find our mailing list on Twitter. Just sign up. I know that a lot of people have been emailing me. I haven't heard anything yet. We haven't announced anything yet. This is the time when you're signing up for it. That's all we're doing right now. Just sign up for it. Sit back, relax. Also, if you haven't been checking out my brand new show on Showtime, Black Monday, please check it out. If you don't have Showtime, no problem. Right now, the first two episodes, and actually I think the third one's going to be released too, are totally free on YouTube. You can watch the first three episodes of Black Monday on YouTube. Check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it. Episode three is kind of the biggest introduction to my character so far in the series. And I just think you're really going to like it. People have been really responding positively to it. Regina Hall's hilarious. Andrew Annals is great. Don Cheadle, is the GOAT, man. Greatest of all time. The best. So definitely check out Black Monday every Sunday night at 10 o'clock on Showtime. If nothing more than to watch the old retro 1980s Showtime titles that we put before each episode. Also, if you're a comic book fan, my new comic book series is coming out this March called Cosmic Ghost Rider Destroys Marvel History. 6-episode series written with my pal Nick Giovanetti. You can order it now. You can order it. You can tell your comic book shop to keep it in stock. Cosmic Ghost Rider, the first episode, it's about Cosmic Ghost Rider and the Fantastic Four. Second episode is going to be about Spider-Man. Really fun stuff. Cosmic Ghost Rider Destroys Marvel History. All right, let's talk about next week. Last week was Valentine's Day, and we're moving away from war and towards love with a timeless tale of two lovers named Meghan and Harry in the lifetime, soon to be classic, Harry and Meghan, a royal romance.
Hi there.
Hey. So, what is it you do?
I'm kind of the Prince of England. Well, I had to bring these myself. Do you have any idea how much they charge for delivery?
The spotlight around Harry has always been intense.
Meghan, is it true about you and Prince Harry?
People are going to say all these things and more. Are you ready for this?
I have dealt with trolls and death threats.
Is rocking the boat part of the appeal here?
She makes me happy, so to hell with tradition.
This cannot be my world. I'm an American. Divorce, I'm half black. It's just the way things are.
Let's fight how things are. I mean, if anyone can, it's you and me.
Oh boy, this movie, I am so excited about it. I mean, look, what do I have to tell you? It's a Harry and Meghan story via Lifetime. We've been wanting to do a Lifetime movie. We missed with Home for the Holidays. Now we're going to be doing Royal Romance. You can find it on Amazon Prime for $1.99, on Vudu for $2.99. I think watched it on Hulu, so I think it's still there. Harry and Meghan, I think it's going to get you. It's going to get you. And you know what I just heard this week? They're making a sequel to it. They're making a sequel to this movie. It's happening. And they're making us. How did they do it? I don't know. Am I going to watch that sequel? Yeah, you bet. All right, people, let's get ready. Last week, we talked about Dragon Blade. Did we get everything right? Absolutely not. Did we get a lot of things wrong? Absolutely sure. Let's get into it. It's now time for corrections and omissions.
Corrections and omissions. Corrections and omissions.
Thank you, Crew Lies. Here we go. There's a lot of people who had a lot of thoughts about this movie, historical thoughts. But you know what? One person, Ross O'Brien, wrote me an email, and it was so detailed that I feel like it trumps everybody else's. So I'm going to read his email that I shortened up a little bit. And he writes to us this. Greetings from Hong Kong. I thought I'd lay out a little more detail as to specifically why Jackie Chan's Silk Road Protection Squad, the SRPS, was portrayed as the grooviest, multilingualist, peaceniciest band of brothers there ever was. Over the last decade, China has attempted to build international relationships and increase its diplomatic influence through infrastructure construction. This is manifested in a global development program called the Belt and Road Initiative, involving trillions of dollars spent in infrastructure and construction largely across Asia and Africa. The Belt and Road Initiative is often referred to as China's new Silk Road. It was kicked off by China's leaders around 2013, and by 2015, when Dragon Blade was released, China felt its own expertise in building up a fuck ton of transportation infrastructure would be seen as a huge asset to other countries. The Belt and Road projects represent not only China's successful economic development, but its desire to foster global peace and harmony. This is even expressed in the title of the film, not Dragon Blade, but the actual title in Chinese. Jason was understandably frustrated with the lack of references to blades or dragons in the film, but this is standard for Chinese films. Their English names are rarely or ever directly translate into their actual titles and usually have nothing to do with them. For instance, the Chow Yun-Fat classic A Better Tomorrow and Hard Boil were retrospectively The True Colors of a Hero and Detective Spicy Hand, originally in Chinese. Dragon Blade's Chinese title is a little convoluted, but the best translation is Heaven's Protection, Mighty Arm. Rome, in this light, is seen as the last global empire which used infrastructure, bridges, and roads as its primary expansion lever. China tends to discount the Roman expansion era of the 18th and 19th century in large part because it feels screwed over and humiliated by it. As you discussed, Jackie and his SRPS homies do everything they can not to fight or fight defensively or sheath swords because aggression on the Silk Road will not stand, man. I felt like you needed to know that Dragon Blade is China's I'd like to buy the world a road and keep a company love letter to the rest of the world. Wow, Ross. That was the most articulate, smartly written email that we have ever gotten. I'm going to call you the smartest man. You know what? I'm going to just say right now.
You win.
Yay!
I'm still going to read the rest of them, but there's no one's going to top that. Okay. So let's just sit back and relax. That was like Zion Williams. That's like, he's going number one in the draft pick. We don't need to debate it. All right. Let's see what we got here. All right. Let's go to our friend, Ben in Kentucky.
Hi, Paul. My name is Ben. First of all, Kentucky loves you guys. With regard to box office gross and profits, the theater chains keep half the grosses of these movies. The studio, i.e. distributor, they get half. And sometimes there are some variances and things can get complicated, but a general rule is the studios and the theaters split the gross 50-50. So if you look at Dragonblade, it has a worldwide box office gross of $120 million. The studio gets half against a production budget of $65 million. So right off the bat, it's a loss of $5 million, which isn't a bomb, definitely not a hit. But who knows what the marketing budget was? Jackie Chan is the second highest paid actor in the world. He definitely gets a cut. It's something to keep in mind. A lot of the movies we think are hits were not, and some movies are even bigger bombs than we realize. Thanks, Paul. Love the show.
Thank you, Ben, and we love Kentucky. Thanks for giving us a little bit of that box office info. I mean, yeah, we never really know where the money comes out. At the end of the day, New Line had to be sued by Peter Jackson because they considered Lord of the Rings a financial loss. So, like, let's just put that in context, okay? So, yeah, there is some shady fucking marketing. I mean, there in every respect. I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. All right, we could have a whole show about that. Where is the money in podcasting? I'll tell you that much. All right, here we go. This is for Trevor.
Hey, Paul, this is Trevor in Massachusetts. I was just calling to let you know that Bubbles the chimpanzee is still alive and is living at the Center for Great Apes in Florida. You can go on there and actually support the center if you want. There's donations available. Cool. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Trevor, for that. And you know what I found out also is that Taika Waititi, the director of Thor Ragnarok, somebody we're very big fans of here, is actually making a movie about Bubbles. Yes. He is making a movie about Bubbles the chimp. So I don't know. Maybe we're putting it into the universe. Bubbles is back, baby. 2019, Bubbles is back. All right, let's go back to the boards, the Earwolf boards. These are where we normally pull all these from. And Cameron H., I knew you had to chime in. What do you got, Cameron? The gang seem confused by the idea of a massive army sending out a champion to fight in battle for them. Daniel concedes that this probably happened, but everyone agreed that it probably didn't happen until later in history. First of all, I don't feel like the idea that each side would send out a champion is really all that crazy. I mean, the rationale being, if our very best guy can beat your very best guy, then ultimately we would probably win the battle anyway. So why bother with all the bloodshed? To me, the idea of sending out a champion to fight a proxy battle for your army doesn't seem completely unheard of. Cameron, so you just wrote in with no... You say that it doesn't sound unheard of to you. No research there, Cameron? Come on, buddy. We got to do better than that. You seem Braveheart. No one person being sent out there. I've seen a million Civil War documentaries. No one's one person. I find it highly unlikely. Cameron, come back with research. You're better than this. Grudlin writes, not necessarily to defend this movie or John Cusack's performance, but I can think I can at least explain it. They mention on the show that the movie made $121 million, but only made $74,000 in the U.S. I speculate that this movie was never meant to be seen outside of China. This might explain John Cusack's lazy performance and accent. I mean, there are a lot of celebrities who do commercials or bad movies in foreign countries because it's easy money, and it doesn't ruin their reputation in Hollywood. So no real need to do an accent if no one in the intended audience will even notice. Wow, so you just think like that John Cusack was like, fuck it, no one will see it? It's like going to another town and just like robbing a bank. It's like, ah, well, no one there knows me. I like that attitude. It makes me laugh. I mean, you know what? The truth be told, you're probably 1,000,000% right. Because I'm sure he was dubbed and he's like, who the fuck cares? Let's get John Cusack to comment on it. If anyone can get him out in public and just ask him what was his thought process, please don't do that. Please don't accost anybody. Don't even tell him that you listen to the show. We have careers here. We can't afford that kind of shit. All right. So just, yeah, you've never heard of the show and you see a big celebrity who's been focused on this show. Unless they're cool. I once saw William Dafoe and he threatened to choke me because I talked about Streets of Fire. It was comical, but it was also kind of scary, too. And our last one is from Electra Boogaloo. She goes, Wikipedia says Mel Gibson was originally going to be John Cusack's part. Do we think that version would be better or worse? All right, let's take everything that we know about Mel Gibson, put it on the side. I'm not going to worry about his personal life or anything like that. I'm just going to look at him as an actor. And he is the furthest person away from a Roman that I can think of. John Cusack, too. These people do not, feel Roman to me. I feel like you need something, just a little bit of, ethnicity to them or something. I would say, how about Javier Bardem? Like, he would be great. Or Scott Baio. Either way, people, I think it would be a better film. Scott Baio in Dragonblade. Let's make it happen. All right, you already know who won, so I'm not even going to do that. Let's get into a little word from our sponsors. All right, let's get into my picks of the week.
Hey, all you dumb freaks and geeks. Now it's time for Paul's pick of the week, and let's go. Ow! All right.
Thank you, Casey Campbell. I have some interesting picks this week. First pick is, you remember Blake J. Harris? He used to do all these great interviews with some of the best people involved in some of the worst movies of all time. But, you know, he's also a fantastic author. He wrote a book called Console Wars that we'd always talk about on the show. But the reason why he's been so unavailable to us lately is because he was finishing up his book called History of the Future. And it is a fantastic book. I'm not just saying that because he works here on the show with us, but it is a great book about VR and Facebook, going back to Facebook, and how Facebook kind of took over Oculus. It's all firsthand accounts. And he got into this world at a time when people were very loose-lipped. And as he was writing it, they got tighter-lipped. But he has some really shocking passages in this book. Even Mark Zuckerberg, he's got some great stuff. We're going to actually play a clip of the audiobook on the next mini episode because he's going to put together something fun for us to give you a little taste of exactly what he's doing. It's fantastic. A really great book if you're interested in technology in Silicon Valley and VR like I am. And even if you're not, it's a good read. His books read so quickly. But let's talk about what you can do without having to read, because I know you're listening to a podcast. The last thing you want to do is read. And that is Russian Doll. Oh my gosh. I know everyone's talking about Russian Doll right now on Netflix. Stars Natasha Lyonne, who is on this podcast in our Superman 3 episode. One of my favorite, funniest, unique people out there. And this show is so uniquely her. It's so fun. And I mean, so rarely does a film or TV show nail the idea of time travel or the idea of like a Groundhog Day. Everyone wants to make a Groundhog Day thing. And I feel like this show really, really nails it. I don't want to spoil anything about it, but just to say that it's a fantastic watch. If you haven't gotten around to watching it yet, put it to the top of your queue. It's only 8 half-hour episodes. It's something you can binge really in a sitting, if you're bold. But I've actually chosen to savor it. I'm down to my final episode and just loving it every step of the way. It's a unique, wonderful, cool show that makes me miss living in New York City. And this week is Oscar week, people. Oscars are coming up this weekend. Who's going to win? Who cares? Honestly, not excited about the Oscars this year at all. But that shouldn't dissuade you from listening to Unspooled. We've done something really cool this past month. We've done 3 special episodes. We talked about the movies of 2018 through what made the most money at the box office, what got the best critical response, and now we actually had listeners call in and tell us what their favorite movies were, but they weren't just normal listeners. No, no, no. They were our friends, friends who've been nominated for things like Oscars, comedians, actors. We got people like Reggie Hudlin, director of House Party, and Marshall, Joey King from The Kissing Booth, Jonathan Levine, who directed the brand new movie Long Shot and 50-50, Damon Lindelof, creator of Lost, Ira Madison from Keep It, Leonard Maltin, Yvonne Orji from Insecure, Drew Pierce, the writer of Iron Man 3 and director of Hotel Artemis, Matthew Robinson, who wrote The Invention of Lying, Richard Roper, Adam Scott from Parks and Recreation, creation, David Wayne from Wet Hot American Summer, Michael Weber, Academy Award nominated screenwriter for disaster artist Casey Wilson from Happy Endings and Black Monday, Lucia Anello from Broad City and Rough Night. We have so many great people, Chris Gethard, Alicia Malone. They're all calling in to talk about their favorite movies of 2018. So it's a great way to kind of prep for the Oscars, or at least feel more knowledgeable about all the films out there. It's three episodes. Each one is very, very different. Blockbusters, critics' picks, and then listener favorites. And I think if you are looking for movies to watch and get on board with, this is the best way to do it. We really cover, I mean, like, goddamn, like 80 films. Like, I mean, we've talked about a lot of films over those three episodes, and it's super, super fun. If you haven't tried out Unspooled yet, that's a great way to get into it. And now, here's a movie that may not be nominated for an Oscar, but in 2 minutes, you're going to know everything you need to know about it. It's time for the return of the movie bitches. That's right. Avril Haley and Andrew Galdi are coming back for a 2-minute review of a little film called Mortal Engines.
Cheers. Welcome to Movie Bitches. Tonight, we're reviewing Mortal Engines.
Not to be confused with Mortal Instruments, a different failed movie series based on a series of books.
So, Mortal Engines is right. The Peter Jackson produced, not directed.
We were confused. And he wrote one of three writers.
Yep, noticed that too. Sci-fi movie set 1,000 years in the future where humans have destroyed the world by using special weapons that fractured Earth's crust into 1,000 pieces.
See, now, I didn't fully understand that till you just said it right now.
Okay. So it's this future where cities have become mobile.
They're all steampunk tanks.
Yeah.
And so it starts, and there's this, like, deep kind of, like, and the world came apart. Maybe that I was laughing at this, so I wasn't paying attention to what was going on. And there's predatory cities, and they come, and I don't know, it's the age of the predatory city. So it starts with this voiceover that's longish. And I kept thinking, well, surely this is going to come up later, and we're going to meet the man, you know, we're going to meet the wizard, the man behind the curtain, you know, and it's going to be like, oh, it was me, I was here and that the whole time, and I've been running it all. It's like zooms out, and it's like, oh, it's like BattleBots, and we're all just, you're on London, you know, or something, right? No, it's not that. The voice never comes back.
No.
Not even at the end to be like, and then they floated off into the wind, and we'll see them in the next installment of Mortal Engines. No, it's not happening.
No, it's definitely not happening.
It was not very good.
No, it was bad.
But I didn't hate it. I don't know.
I didn't hate it either.
I had ideas.
It wasn't a fuck you movie level bad, but it wasn't fun or good or interesting.
I mean, I found it intriguing and visually exciting and just like a missed opportunity, really.
Thank you, movie bitches. And remember, if you like this show, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps us in the grand scheme of getting advertisers, which is always important because that's how we keep the lights on here. So people, what's your assignment? Your assignment is to watch the fantastic, the amazing Harry and Meghan, A Royal Romance. You can find that on Amazon Prime, Vudu, and Hulu, and you will not be let down by how wonderful it is. We will see you next week for a full episode of How Did This Get Made? Bye for now.